Welcome to the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org. Enjoy the podcast.
Where are you finding joy during these strange days in which we're living? Surprisingly, maybe you have discovered that joy has found you. We are impacted by our circumstances, but we are not a prisoner to COVID-19. We can discover what God is showing us by His presence in a way that a wellspring of joy comes from within and speaks to the circumstances of our lives and the people with whom we are with. That's what the psalmist laid out. The psalmist in Psalm 100 that opened us in worship had discovered this truth in his own life. And through the ages, people of faith have spoken this psalm as a prayer of exclamation of who God is for them in the times in which they were living. Shout for joy, worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Why? Because in all circumstances, we can know this central truth. The Lord is good. And His love and faithfulness endure forever. We are His. The central truth, then, is what we have as the wellspring of our lives, then to be the good news of making God known anywhere and everywhere, anytime and all the time for the people whom God brings our way. Not being someone different than who we are in the circumstances and in those relationships, but being who we are in light of who God is, because we have discovered who we are because of who God is. This passage out of Acts 17 that Priscilla and Matthew, Pete read for us and that Debbie referenced in her children's message. This passage that has been a part of the frame in our experience of worship this morning is a passage that can frame your understanding of what it means to make God known anytime, anywhere. And the four ways that happens. One is to show. To show that God's presence from the wellspring of joy in your life. That is, as this living presence of God has come to be the source of your life, then it is like the living water that comes from your conversation. It comes from your expression on your face. It comes through your tears. It comes in your laughter. It comes in your questions. It comes in your exclamation marks. It is simply the demonstration of who you are. It's such a gift that in God's love, through Christ Jesus, we don't have to figure out every morning when we wake up, who am I going to be today? That we are His. We are the sheep of His pasture, as the psalmist said. And in that promise, we discover the truth that God calls us into being the best we can be through His presence each day so that we may serve Him with power in that day. Lauren Daigle has set a record in the music world through the Billboard's various charts. The record that her song, You Say, has broken is that for more than 100 weeks in the Christian songs, it has been the top of the chart. And now it's the number one song in adult contemporary and rising also in other categories in the Billboard chart system. What's going on in this song? Here is a person who is a believer, but has the capacity to do that crossover experience like an Amy Grant, in which in that crossover experience, she speaks about songs of faith and sings them with the majesty of a gift the Lord has given her. But it does so in a frame in which people who are seeking can also tune in and take in a message that speaks to the hunger of their own lives. The lyrics go something like this. It opens with her singing, I keep fighting voices in my mind that say I am not enough. Every single lie that tells me I will never measure up. And I am more than just the sum of every high and every low. Remind me once again just who I am, because I need to know. You say I am loved when I can't feel a thing. You say I am strong when I feel weak. And when you say I am held when I am falling short, and when I don't belong, oh, you say I am yours. And I believe. Oh, I believe. What you say of me, I believe. In the majesty of that giftedness of hers in which she co-wrote these lyrics, speaking to a hunger in our society, is the same truth that Paul was communicating 2,000 years ago when he first arrived on the scene in the intellectual capital of the Roman Empire, when he arrived in Athens. He is on his journey as we're in the middle of the book of Acts, the story of early believers who, by how they discovered the wellspring of joy in their life, show us today how we, in the midst of our strange days, can truly be founded in the foundation of the living cross through the power of the resurrection, because it is true, this central truth, that we are his. It says in Acts 17:16 that while Paul was waiting, that in itself is not a throwaway line. He claimed the moment because with God, there is no throwaway moment. And while he was in Athens, he was waiting for some of his companions, like a Timothy or like a Silas or like a Luke, to join him. And they were going to make their way on over to Corinth. And he went ahead of them because he was being stoned in the early cities he had been in. He could have said, this is going to be my R&R. But while he was around in the agora and in the marketplace, he felt distress. He felt a distress because of the people's distress. As he heard their conversations, as he began conversations, as he was listening to men and women and boys and girls, what they were talking about, what he found was an absence of joy because of a spiritual confusion, not knowing who they were and light of the true God. There are plenty of religious talk going on, but none of that religious conversation going on in the marketplace or in Athens had a clarity that became a pathway by which people can understand who they were being held in the hands of a loving God. And so one then is to let yourself be that wellspring of joy that you may show, to show before you tell, to show from your life, this is real. You may be showing in the midst of tears, a time of sadness, but underneath that is still this wellspring of joy that has not gone out. Another place where Vicki and I had lived, there was an attempt to reclaim an old spring in a park that was located near our house. And I worked at it, and we contributed some money to try to get at it. It had been covered up for many, many years. And the concern was is that through the course of nature and over a span of time, that spring had lost its way to show itself up to the surface of the ground. But eventually, it happened. I remember doing a dance of joy when that trickle of water started coming up. It's a sense of this wellspring that is there and needed to be given again a passageway, that it could be released. And so it is that God in our lives is that passageway in which the joy that he gives us and by which we were made and the promise of our life and the capacity for us to be evangelists, good news tellers, by helping to provide that passageway for others, is a calling worthy of all of us. It is a commandment upon each of us. It is not just a have to, but it is a want to that comes from our hearts. It is like being with someone who is dying of thirst, dehydrated, and we have the capacity to provide water to rehydrate their body. And if we keep that water to ourselves, then we are a source of death in the life of others. This is such a time in COVID-19. that we as the people of this living faith of at the cross, that we have seen the one who has spoken to the worst of circumstances in life and was resurrected. This is such a time. In the racial wounds of a wounded society, in a wounded world that for too long has chosen people in and out by the color of their skin, that the people of faith in the life of the church says, this is not who we are, this is not what we're about, and this is how we may demonstrate it by a living faith where everyone is embraced equally and given the opportunities equally. This is such a time in which mistrust in our world is prevailing over trust, and in the midst of pressing elections, statewide, nationally, and the world is watching, that people of faith can demonstrate a source of unity in Christ and God's hope for all people, that as we speak our views, we speak them in a way that we are building bridges in broken relationships. This is such a time in the opening of school in the midst of the strangeness of COVID-19, that precious children and loving parents and courageous teachers and can-do administrators and a supportive community all demonstrate, and demonstrate too as a wellspring from the church, we are in this together and we will make our way forward. We are to show our joy. Secondly, we discover, and the early model and for our life today is how to identify joy's source. People don't want to hear it before they have seen it, but once they have seen it, they want to know where it comes from. And that's where we can identify joy's source. So it said that Paul was talking up the good news about Jesus and the resurrection. The word there is kerygma, which is preaching, but that's only preaching formally in the way that I am now is one form of talking up the gospel. But at this point, he was still in the marketplace, still listening, speaking to people who would gather around him. Actually, they saw something different inside of him and coming from him. And then it began to formulate in a way that he could begin to preach for larger people listening in, because he was talking up the source of this joy. Today, if we go to Athens, as many of us have done, we go to the Acropolis, which is the high hill in Athens. And there we can look up at the Acropolis of how the famous scene of the Parthenon, where the goddess Athena stood as the erect, tall statue, one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. Or that we can see the Nike that we know in the sports world today was originally a goddess of the winner, the goddess of a champion, in which there is a temple there on the Acropolis. And there in that scene is where Paul then was taken. He was taken to go up from the marketplace to the Areopagus, which is part of this high hill, to a formal conversation with other seekers who wanted to know more of what he was saying about the source of life and of joy. So we find, how did he do that? He did it in a way that we may, how we get at it can look some different, but each of us can follow the same pattern that he has laid out for us. Verse 17, he reasoned from using the language of Athens. Lauren Dangle used the language of music to get the message across in You Say. When Paul was using in Athens language of reasoning, he was using the language of the intellect of the capital of how ideas were being talked about of the Roman Empire, but had gone on long before then, that in the city of Athens, Socrates had once lived, and Socrates had taught Plato, and Plato had taught that immigrant Aristotle, and Aristotle back in Macedonia had taught Alexander the Great. That in this chain of discipling, this mentoring, came this intellectual heritage into this conquering spirit of an Alexander the Great. And in this setting where people were so proud of how much they could know, he was having to explain to them, the purpose of knowledge is to bring you into becoming fully alive. And the source behind all good knowledge and all truth in knowledge is the source of this living relationship with God. And through the ages, Christians have used some of the thought forms of a Plato or an Aristotle and some of the questions of a Socrates, never letting the gospel be subjugated to them, but allowing that frame to be a way of communicating a reasoning to a world, wanting to make sense of the world. And so Paul was doing that. And he was doing it with these two opposing groups. He was doing it with the Epicureans, who had come to the conclusion that life is short and it's filled with a misery, so let's just live it up and give physical sensation to our bodies. Let us avoid any kind of spiritual pain or mental anguish by bringing ease to the living of our days the best we can. Let the booze flow. And from this approach of a Bacchus and the Epicureans, you've got the Stoics, the people who were into a delayed gratification, the people who were into a very disciplined, non-emotional way of living life, because they had seen the extremes of this group and this group had seen the extremes of the Stoics, and they were both missing the truth that was there to be seen right in front of them. You remember the movie in Finding Nemo? A gift of being a grandfather is you get to rewatch some movies. And there was the older fish. He's talking about swimming in water, explaining to the younger fish. And when the older fish had swum away, the two younger fish looked at each other and said, "What is water?" They were in it but didn't know that that's what it was. And Paul there is naming. It is this living God who is in the midst that makes sense of our life. And so they were intrigued and they took Paul to the upper place of the Areopagus. They wanted to know what these strange ideas meant. So Paul has demonstrated, he has shown the faith like the psalmist of Psalm 100. He has then, he's identified the joy's source. And now it was time while he was up on the hill, he was in a formal council and a conversation highlighting how natural this hunger for God is. The Athenians were very religious. He commended them for understanding that they had a hunger inside of them to want something more than what they had. And he began then to identify the source of your hunger comes naturally to you. You even have an altar here to an unknown God. I'll explain to you what that means. Once when I was up there, I specifically asked my guide to take me to where that pillar was that had the inscription to an unknown God. And imagining how in the improv moment, Paul was talking to this group and he was connecting dots quickly in a way that people begin to see what he was saying. See what he was saying to an unknown God. Well, let me tell you who this God is. It's the God who created and gives everyone life and breath and everything else, gives you the meaning of this life. This is the unknown God that you want to know. It's by the one who is the God of all, not of some. The God who is everywhere, not just somewhere. It is the living Lord God of all the universe, of all the Jews, of all the Greeks, of people of every background, for everyone who is equal, revealed perfectly in the Messiah called Jesus Christ. Well, who is this Christ? He was talking about then this good news of a living relationship, this good news of one who came and taught truth and demonstrated the power of truth to boys and girls and men and women, people in illness and people in ease, success, but spoke to them about the power of transformation, the power of the sin of unbelief, the sin of what happens in our life when we are not willing to trust. My prayer for you as your pastor, from our FaceTime and our Facebook to our time and live streaming to being together in person, is that as you awaken each day, you're caught up in the revelation of God's joyful presence in creation. And from His Word, you see His Word speaking to you in a way then you are drawn with power to live your life. An introvert, Somebody who is in different stages of life, it doesn't matter. It's a power of source of life for everyone. Because then you're called to direct people to know themselves in light of God. Parents directing their children. Grandparents directing the grandchildren. Grandparents reminding their children that they can only truly know themselves as they know God. And that God then will take all their experiences in life and bring them together in a way that they can better understand their unique individuality, but also our sense of community. That we are to be persuasive in how we show the joy in faith, how we can say it in a way that people see the connection, and that God is sovereign and intentional because He creates people and time and the earth on which we stand, the terra firma. This earth that we're on is a gift from God. Be good to this earth, for He is the Lord of the earth. The gift of time today, right now, to live in the now of this moment is then to let God take you into His presence with a unique appointment of what He's seeking to say to you. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, all who ever was, is, or will be, said the author of Hebrews. Which is another way of saying what Paul had heard from the Cretan philosopher, that this is the one of in whom we live and move and have our being. Therefore, we should not think that God can be controlled like an idol. Though we can't control God with our worry, we can't control God with our own resources, we can only give our concerns to God and let Him shape them. We can give the resources of our talent or money or time and let Him shape them to His purposes that He will be made known. And the times are serious. And so in verse 30, he speaks of the rebellious ignorance must be repented from. It's not okay to sit as a spectator in life. He was speaking to the hearts and minds of the Athenians and communicating to them, you have no rudder. You want to know a direction, but when the direction shows up for you, you've got to make a decision to choose this direction and go with it. And then he said, let me tell you what you also know. There is a day of justice and judgment that's coming. That in their day, 80% of the people didn't live beyond age 30. Now, it can be 80 for a man and more, 83 for a woman. But even though it's longer, it is still true that death comes. And there is a reality of how God sees our life and what we've done with the gift of the wellspring of joy provided by Christ Jesus, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross and despised the shame and is seated now at the right hand of God. He has the power of rise because He rose from the dead. He has the power to speak. He has the proof and the authority that this is true. Well, our ensemble was beautifully playing at the cross. I was reminded of a man in a story that I've shared with you before. But there he was at the end of his life, having turned age 100, and when I went to his room to be with him on his 100th birthday, he was in a fetal position in the corner of his bedroom on his bed, and he was moving his lips, and I could not hear what he was saying. And so I went next to him, and I put my ear next to his lips, and he was singing at the cross, where I first saw the light. There the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and that has made me happy all my days. The next day, Mr. White would leave this world and enter into the dimension of eternity in the presence of Christ. But he had declared what the source of his life was. It is true. For in him we live and move and have our being. For we are his offspring, the living Lord God. Our time of response, whether Facebook Live or live streaming together, a joy to be with you in person. Simply to bring your life to God right now. Allow Him to reveal to you the joy of His love, the power of His speaking His message to you, but in such a way that you feel the connection and the desire to share that joy by who you are in the gospel to others.
We hope you enjoyed your segment of the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org.